Hey, Quinn, hold that thing up for a minute. Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, my first cell phone, right there it was. And you plugged it right into the cigarette lighter. For those of you that don't know, cigarettes were something we used to smoke back in the day. But I can't help but think that because my brother George was one of the first to have a cell phone, and it was literally like he was holding a shoebox to his ear. But it was so cool for us. So, good morning, TLR. Life is good? Life is good? Life is good? Give me a thumbs up or a thumb down. Wow. Well, you know, now I'm kind of second-guessing myself, Julie, because I'm probably here to tell you that it's not always going to be good. And you may think, gosh, he talks about that passage in James awfully a lot. And I do, because I think one of the saddest things going on in the churches today is that we're being taught that you can just, if you're a Christian, everything's going to go good for you, and all your addictions are going to magically disappear, and everything's just going to be wonderful. But life is good for me right now, too, but I understand that nobody gets out of this place alive. Right? So I temper that. No one gets out of here alive. I figured one of you Bible scholars would tell me that there was two dudes in the Old Testament that got out of here without dying. But in the New Testament, there's a story told about some prophets coming back and getting killed because it's appointed unto every man to die, and then comes judgment. So we can't get out of this alive. There's going to be something that happens, and I find this is a place, and what I want to do is talk to you about when life gives you lemons. The text is James 1, 2 through 4. I'll explain it somewhat, and then I'll just give you some practical guidelines for this, because Julie and I, the practical tips that I'm going to give you, we use them on each other. There are times that she'll say, is that your lemon? Right? And we remind ourselves. So this is one of those things that if you really listen, pay attention, it'll change your life, at least help it a great deal. So, when life gives you lemons, the text is James 1, 2 through 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And that comes from the New King James Version Bible. So, what do you do when life gives you lemons? James gives us a couple ingredients to turning it into lemonade. Everybody says, if life gives you lemonade, lemon, turn it into lemonade. Every time I have lemonade, I'm always surprised how well I like that stuff. Of course, I like it sugar ice, but you know what I'm saying. So, the first thing I got to point out to you, when life gives you trials, it's not if, but when. I'd love to teach this if you ever have something bad happen to you. But it's not if, it's when. Things happen. Not if, when. When these trials come upon you. Not if, but when they come upon you. And notice it says trials, not trial. Oh, wouldn't it be nice if we had one trial and then we were done? I'd be like, hey, Jeff, I had my trial. Good luck to you. Lucius Seneca said, a gem cannot be polished without friction, nor a man perfected without trials. He had obviously read the book of James. Not sure how that fits in time-wise, but if not, he should have. Because that's exactly what James says. There's a story told about a backwoods preacher, and he comes across this poor boy playing in the dirt. And he says to the boy, he says, son, where's your father? And the boy says, well, he got hanged last week. He says, oh, where's your mother? The little boy says, my mama done run off. He said, where's your sister? And he said, well, she's in jail. He said, do you have anybody else in your family? He said, yep, I got a brother. He said, well, where's your brother? And he said, well, he's at Harvard University. And the preacher said, glory to God, at least one member of your family's doing well. What is he studying? The little boy said, nothing. They're studying him. Now, see, that boy had every reason to realize he had lemon after lemon after lemon. And I don't think none of our lives is probably as bad as that boy, but we have to admit that life can get pretty difficult. Not if, but when they come. There's a famous story about a sophomore student at Yale saying to the chaplain, "Sir, you must admit that religion is just a crutch." How many of you ever heard somebody say that? Religion is just a crutch. The chaplain, the old wise chaplain, replied, "Sure it is, but which one of us is not limping?" Well, I got some bad news for you. You'll probably limp before your life is over. I got some good news for you. Trials will come, and when we have trials, we have the Lord, and He is the best crutch ever. There's usually, we think about two trials in the Bible. The first one is when they're talking about trials, they talk about trials in forms of Christian persecution. We don't have much of that here in the United States. I know if you read Facebook, you'd think, oh my gosh, they're violating my rights left and right. But let's face it, compared to the other countries in this world, we really don't have a lot of Christian persecution going on to our faith because of our faith. In fact, if anything, we preach prosperity all the time. You know, you get saved, it gets better and better and better and better. So we usually don't have that first kind of trial, that persecution for the faith kind of trial. But I listen to those old church people from the past that lived through that. Help me with the pronunciation, Jen. The Nicene Council, or Nicene Council, is that close enough? 318 voting delegates, and this happened in the 4th century A.D. 318 of them attended. Fewer than 12 had not lost an eye, hand, or leg by torture for their Christian faith. What am I trying to say? Don't change your theology because of something somebody said, some preacher said on TV. Because when he has a trial, it's usually the air conditioning went out of his Lexus. Right? Can you imagine? 318 of them, only 12 had not been tortured for their faith. Trials, not if they come, but when they come. Not a trial, but trials. Life could hand you some pretty big lemons. The first thing that he tells us to do is to count. He said, count. If I go back to that, he said, count it all joy. And I've heard that taught on before and before and before. So he says, not only, he says, count it all joy. And I've heard people say, yeah, you're supposed to count up all them bad things that happened to you and get joyful about it. How many of you can do that? Well, there's one of us. Count it all up. The Explorer broke down at Eddie's this week. Oh, my gosh, that was wonderful, wasn't it? We had a tire show through on that old Taurus. That thing had more belt on it than it had rubber on it. Oh, we just got happy and we danced, didn't we, Julie? You guys probably could have heard us coming in that old van because it's just making all kinds of various noises. But you know what? We count it and we just joy in that, don't we? No. So what does this mean? You're going to have trials. You're going to have different kinds of trials. There are going to be multiple trials. Warren Wiersbe says that the trials of life are not all alike. There are going to be all kinds of different things. He says it's like multicolored yarn and you're making a rug and it looks hideous until you see the final product and it's a beautiful rug that God has made. So what happens when we have trials? First of all, it says count it. Count it. The Greek word translated count is this word right here. I think it's pronounced Hegio Freakin Maya. Suggest careful, now this is important, don't laugh too hard. Forget that. Suggest careful examination with a view to discerning and coming to some conclusion. What does that mean? It means this. When we counted those problems this week, that's how we count. What this means is to add them up, realizing that there's going to be some good that comes from it. Does that make sense to you? You're not supposed to glory because bad stuff happens to you. You're supposed to look ahead and realize that God's going to bring something great from this. You either believe that something beautiful, scandalous happened on that Calvary through Christ and that God is working for your good or he's not. How many of you believe God is working for your good? So when you count, Andy, you count that up. Ford Explorer at Eddie's. Tire showing through. Whatever the last one was. And then you look ahead because you know God is working it for our good. Maybe he's just teaching us patience. How many of you are patient? I cry out to God, give me patience and give it to me now. God is always working. We don't just count. God is not some psychopath that wants you just to wallow in every bad thing that happens to you. On the contrary, he wants you to count it all up, just like an accountant does on one side, and realize there's another side to that accounting ledger. Amen? And he's going to bring you through, and he's going to let you see that. The process itself may be hard to rejoice in, but the end, if you hang on, it'll be good. You got to wait, and you just don't, I don't want you counting because the Bible says count. So you tell me, well, the Bible says count, so I'm counting. It doesn't really say count. It says count with an eye to the future. Does that make sense to you? Oh, you're going to get depressed if you use the American definition and just count up all your problems. Hey, Judy, tell us all your problems. And then as soon as she tells us, then we just leave her. We don't leave you like that. God says, count them all up and realize there's another part of that ledger, and I'm going to make something good come out. I believe every bad thing that happens to us, God can work to good. I believe God wants to move everything that's bad that's happening to something good. God is working for my good, because he loves me. So we count it up. The Bible said, it said in there that, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing. So the second thing we need to do is know it. And this says up here, knowing is half the battle. Knowing is half the battle. So what am I supposed to know? I want you to know a couple things when you fall into bad times. I want everybody to think of a bad time you fell into. Know this. First of all, faith is always tested. Why is faith tested? The Bible says faith is always tested to increase our faith. What happens if you're not tested? Your faith never increases. The Bible says our faith is tested. You should know this. The faith is tested to increase our faith. There's a quote that goes like this. God tests to bring out our best. Satan tempts to bring out our worst. Amen. How many of you know Satan tempts? Well, God tests, but it's for opposite reasons. So we need to know that faith is always tested to increase our faith. We need to know, and we need to know down deep in our heart that we are tested because God is working for us and in us, not against us. Oh, don't do that. Oh, God, why did you allow this? If anything, just say, oh, God, what great thing are you going to bring from this? First Peter says, these trials have come so that your faith, which is of greater worth than gold, and gold even perishes, even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Know this. First of all, faith is always tested to increase our faith. Know this. Testing is for us, not against us. And also know this, testing helps us to mature, right? That baby's cute as can be. We got all kinds of cute kids around here, and more to come, I hear. Oh, definitely more to come. You know, they're cute as can be. We were at a church last week, and a little girl walked right up to the front to her dad and basically said she had to go pee. Was okay, but you wouldn't want her doing that when she's 15 now, would you? Right? It's okay she did it at 2, but no. You don't want her to be doing that when she's 15. Wouldn't it be sad to see someone that never matures? I deal with people that because of different learning disabilities, they haven't matured correctly. And it's really an awkward kind of thing. What I want you to know is this. The only way that God can develop patience and characters, the only way that God can mature us is not through reading and prayer and sermons. The only way he can actually mature us is just the actual results of life and of us growing and moving on. We go through trials, we trust God, and the result is we mature in our lives. I think some people say, well, I just want to be a Christian, and I just want to get in by the skin of the teeth. How many of you ever heard somebody like that? I used to say the same thing. Oh, I want to get by on the skin of my teeth. I want to be a Christian good enough to get into heaven, but not totally unrelated to the ways of the world, if you know what I mean. Well, that doesn't work, because then you're just an you're like a baby. Paul says, you should be teaching, and you're like babies. Oy vey. He probably said that too, didn't he? We have to have maturing of our faith, and the only thing we can mature is knowing that this problem that we have, or this trial, or this lemon we've been handed, is going to move us to where God wants us to go. I've got tons of really great examples of wonderful things that came out of very positive results that came out of negative experiences. But I won't read them all, but Robin Caruso, Pilgrim's Progress, The History of the World, they were all written from a jail cell. Those three men, they could have wallowed on that jail cell. Oh, look at me. Look at me, how bad I've got it. But they turned it into something good. Martin Luther translated the entire Bible while confined in a castle. Beethoven was deaf and depressed when he wrote some of his greatest works. My goodness. Adversity, write this down, is not the thing that stops us. Us is the thing that stops us. Judy, is that not the truth? Turn around and tell these kids that adversity is not what stops us. Us is what stops us. Okay, so he says we got to, and this thing here, I got to tell you, knowing is half the battle. That sounds like it's pretty positive. Hey, just knowing is half the battle. But I'm here to tell you, knowing is half the battle. Because everything I tell you, if you don't put it to practice, it doesn't do any good. So we count it, we know it, and then we let it. It says, let it have its perfect work within you. The key word is let. It means a surrendered will. Listen, when those bad things happen to you, when life gives you lemons, if you do not surrender your will to God and let it have its perfect work in you, you're not going to mature. You're not going to get through it. You're not going to look back and have a jump up and down story, because you're just going to wallow in it and you're going to repeat the same old problems time and time again. Somebody ought to say amen, because some of y'all have had me pray for the same problem for the last, off and on, 6 years. Judy, don't mind me telling the truth. So what happens? We just got to surrender our will to it. We just got to say, God, I don't know what you're trying to show me. I don't know what it is that you want me to learn from this, but Lord, I'm going to be surrendered to you, and I know, because I'm going to count it, I know something good's going to come from it. I'm going to know that, and I'm going to let it work. Let God have his perfect work in you, through you. God cannot or will not build your character against your will. You understand that? Jesse, you can run down at IU. You can go to every party in the world, but God is not going to make the best Jesse that God can make unless Jesse surrenders his will. And that goes for the rest of you, too. Let it have its perfect work. There was a time when I was Jesse's age, I just thought there was nothing that God really had that was better than what I could have, right? Oh, have we learned different? Look over at him and say, oh, have we learned different? Oh, have we learned different? God is so good. Surrender your will. God is so good. God cannot do it without you. If we submit to him, he can accomplish his work. If not, the natural consequence is we're probably just going to repeat that same problem over and over again. Cycle, cycle, cycle. Okay, so let's do some really practical stuff on how to put this to use in your work with the time we have remaining. First of all, when life gives you lemons, don't confuse lemons with hand grenades. Wait for it. Wait for it. Boom. Don't confuse lemons with hand grenades. Lemons, I mean, they can get in your eye, they can sting a little, they can hurt your hands, burn your paper cuts. But a hand grenade, on the other hand, boom. I think if you say, poor me enough, I think you're well on your way to being poor. Amen. I'm not positive you can speak yourself well, but I'm pretty well positive you can speak yourself sick. Don't confuse lemons with hand grenades. Maybe not having your favorite brand of coffee in the morning, that's a lemon. That's not a hand grenade. Being unable to put the cup to your lip, that would be a hand grenade. Did everybody see the point here? Because this is an important one. Because Quinn and I, we get a lot of calls about this because people thought they were this. Just a lemon. You can work it out. It'll be all right. Breathe deeply. Talk to the people around you. They've been through it. I don't think there's, even this place here, I don't think there's anything that could happen to you that hasn't happened to one of us. And if it hasn't happened to Judy, it's happened to me. Right? But it's just a lemon. Well, cancer's a hang grenade. Julie's cancer, a hang grenade, or a lemon? Lemon. Okay. Fair enough. Next one. Let's look at this one. Check the delivery slip. Determine if it's your problem. Y'all laugh, but some of y'all, you just try to hog everybody's problem. You just want them all. You don't have enough problems in your life, so you're trying to take problems from your crazy brother-in-law and every problem that comes along at work. You're the first one to raise your hand. Check the delivery slip. Determine if it's your problem. It may not be your problem. Is that your lemon? Well, you wouldn't believe what they're doing. Blah, 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 blah. Is that your lemon? Oh, no. It's not my lemon. I don't even have to worry about what they're doing, right? Those first two things can change your life. Totally apart from James. Those first two things can change your life. Determine if it's your problem. If it's not, let it go. I've met some people that are on the Adopt a Problem program. They don't have enough on their own, so they're adopting others. Well, that's mighty nice of you. But that's a surefire way of living a very unhappy, unfruitful life. You'll get your own lemons. Don't take anybody else's. If life hands you lemons, don't blame. Don't shoot the messenger. Forgive the problem maker. Listen, I don't know how to say this any better than Joyce Meyer says it. She was talking about a young lady, and she said, you know, I know what you're going through. When I was a kid, I had the same problem you did. He got over on me, but I made up my mind. He was done getting over on me. Forgive the problem maker. Leave him to God. Leave her to God. Move on. Don't blame. What happens when you blame? You know, there was this old lady back in the day, and she wrote this book about forgiveness. And that was back before women wrote books. And I'll never forget, I saw a copy of it. And what she said was, when you're holding that, when you're not forgiving, you're like carrying a big weight. And that other person that did you wrong is not carrying nothing because he's evil, she's evil, she don't care. They haven't thought of you since they messed you up. And here you're carrying that weight. And here Jesus comes along in his little wagon with his little horse or donkey or whatever Jesus drives, and he asks you to get up in there and let him take care of that for you. And you get right up in the back of his trailer, and you're still holding that problem. Forgive the problem maker. You understand that? I don't know, maybe y'all don't understand how horses and wagons work. You can set that problem down and relax, or you can carry it. And I just want you to know that when you carry it, that person that got over on you is getting over on you again and again and again. And he's affecting your relationships again and again and again. The next one is, paint smiley faces on them. Laugh at the problem. Stay positive. That's hard to do, I know. But, you know, sometimes, you know, you just about have to be dumb enough to do that. But if you do it, it's a great way to live your life. And luckily, I'm dumb as a post. I can do that. I can do that. There was a story told about some hillbilly hunters, and some organization had offered a $5,000 reward, and I'm not saying this happened in Brown County, so don't even look at me that way, but they offered a $5,000 reward for coyotes captured alive. Well, they became fortune hunters at this point. So day and night, they were always out looking and trying to find those coyotes. Exhausted one night, they fell asleep, just dead asleep, apart from their arms, apart from everything. They came into camp, just fell asleep. Suddenly, one of them awoke to see that they were surrounded by all kinds of coyotes, just baring their teeth, just growling, completely cut off from their guns and their weapons. He nudged the other old boy and he said, "Wake up, Jed, we're rich." Stay positive. Let's worry about our problems because that helps. If you're late on a payment, if you tell the people, "Hey, listen, I've been worrying all week over it." Oh, they just understand, don't they? I have people look at me like I'm stupid when I tell them not to worry. What good has it ever done you? You might as well stay positive. Paint smiley faces on it. Sometimes it's good just to laugh at the problem and know. You know, why do I attempt? Sometimes it falls flat, but why do I attempt humor every time I teach or I preach? Because if anybody in this world should be happy, it's Christians. We've read the book. We know how it ends. I can't explain it to you. It's beautiful. It's scandalous that Christ would die for me. I am never going to try to flesh that out to you. I don't understand it myself. But boy, I'm happy about it. And sometimes I just have to think on that and get past the worry. The worry doesn't help. It really doesn't. It doesn't help your bills. You know, if you bum leg, I shouldn't have pointed down because now you see my white socks. Those aren't actually socks. That's where my tan ends. I wish I hadn't brought the whole thing up, but I'm going to laugh at that problem because there's worse problems I have than white feet and white arms. But I want you to know that it doesn't do you any good to worry. It doesn't do any good not to stay positive. Negativity doesn't help you a bit. It just makes it worse. If you can't laugh at the problem, hey, grow your own orchard. Live a fruitful life despite of or because of the problem. Live a fruitful life. The Bible says this, "You meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about this present result." That comes from Genesis. That funny word that we talked about earlier, if I can find it here. Oh, there it is. That word is encapsulated in what I just read to you. You meant evil against me. You handed me a lemon. But God meant it for good in order to bring about this present result. And that result is I made lemonade out of it. Right? That's what that you know, you think, oh, I'll never know what a Greek word means. Well, you know this verse. You know that Greek word. Now you know what it means. It means you, devil, meant evil against me. You, whoever got over on me. You, whoever's trying to promote evil against me. You meant evil against me. But God meant it for good in order to bring about this present result. You got to live a fruitful life. You know what? I just had the quote. It's in that chapter, he's saying. So it very well could be Eric, but I don't know. Okay, let's profit from the problem. So life hands you lemons. What do? You sell them on Craigslist. How am I going to profit from the problem? I don't necessarily mean you're going to profit money-wise. Some of you might. You might write a book about your problems. Lord knows it'd sell because people love to wallow in people's problems, right? But how do we profit from it? We profit from it when the problem comes by counting it, right? Counting it up and knowing God's going to bring us through it and there's going to be another side to the ledger and that bad is going to become good. We count it. We know it. We know that we can't grow. We cannot mature. We cannot gain faith. We cannot gain maturity without it. We're going to grow that way. We're going to profit that way. That's how we profit from it. We count, we know, and we let it work. You'll never profit from a problem, friends, if you don't do those three things. Everybody remember that, right? When you have a problem, if you don't know that something good's going to come of it, if you don't, what was the second one again? Know was the second one. Count it. Something good's going to happen. Know that it's going to come to your good. And the third thing is, if you don't let God surrender your will, you'll never profit from a problem. If you're going to have problems, wouldn't you just soon profit from them? If I had a magical device to where you'd never have problems, I'd give it to you, and you wouldn't have to worry about this. But I don't. You're going to have problems, so profit from it. Count them up, know it, and let God have his perfect will. And then finally, we just died somehow, Quinn. It was like my favorite slide yet. I just tried that. Let's do this. Daggone it. All right. Okay, it was really a nice one. I'll just describe it to you. I am just so bummed. You want to try it? There we go. No, we don't go. There it is! Oh, my gosh, man. I get by with a little help from my friends. What was the next line? Never mind the next line of that. Boy, I tell you what, back in the day, my mom's generation lived through a time where soap just pretty much smelled like soap. They came along, they started making this lemon pledge. I could ride my bike down the street and know who was cleaning furniture and who wasn't. Profit from your problems. Give off a refreshing fragrance. Live a lemon fresh life. You're probably going to be able to tell that this is a quote from me and not from anybody that knows anything. But your life's narrative, your life story can be about every daggone piddling bad thing that ever happened to you. How many of you know people like that? You had cancer? You wouldn't believe the cancer I had. You had something cut off? They just gave up, and they just left me with what wasn't. Oh, it was awful. I was walking around. I was just a leg. It was awful. Your job's tough? You don't even know what a tough job is. Bad day, you've never been one, right? And they want to tell you all about the bad thing that happened to them. You can live your life that way. I've been stuck doing more funerals than I ever cared to do. And I don't know how to say it other than just say it. I've always had people say, what was that? Well, we still okay? I've had people say, well, you know what? She was something of a bee. Haven't we heard that quite a bit? It's like, yeah. And that probably explains why there's 15 people here for the funeral. I'm just being honest with you. Your life's narrative can be about every doggone, daggone, piddling bad thing that ever happened to you. You can be the one that's always had something worse happen. Right? Or your other choice, your narrative can be how you came through every daggone piddling bad thing that ever happened to you. And that's your choice today. When these bad things happen, I'm going to count it that God is working good in my life. I'm going to know that he's doing this for my own good. I'm going to let him have his perfect will. And then someday my story is going to be about not that I had cancer, but how I came through it. And my story is not going to be about how I lost a loved one, but how God saw me through that. And you see, that's something I almost feel like that prophet of old saying, choose between the two. Defeat or victory. Now here's the problem, Judy. You choose, let's say for an example, you choose this one. You like telling people how bad your life has been. So you're living defeated. And you know what else you're helping? You're helping everybody else that you talk to live defeated. If you choose this one, you're living victorious. And everybody who hears your story is going to get that much closer to living victorious. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this message. We thank you for the fact that because of you and your love for us, that everything that happens to us, you're working it to the good. Lord God, I just pray that we would accept those lemons that are our own. And if they're not our lemons, we can pray, but we don't accept delivery on lemons that aren't ours. We can offer to help, but we don't take those lemons that don't belong to us. But the ones that are ours, I pray that we would learn to make something good to come from it. You want to make good come from our lives. Help us to count it, know it, and let it work to make us everything you want us to be, because our most perfect, most victorious life will be a surrendered will to you. So, dear Lord, I just pray for that next time that something happens. Father, I hope we have just this vision in our mind. Is this a lemon or is this a hand grenade? And we react thusly. Father, I pray the next time that phone rings, we think about whether the message, good or bad, is going to be helped one iota by worrying about it and giving ourselves over to Satan to create doubt and distrust and confusion in our mind. I just pray, Lord, that we would know that you are working for our good because you love us. We don't understand it. We can't explain it, but you are working good for us because you loved us enough to live for us and die for us. Help us to know that and help this message become real to us. In your holy name I pray. Amen.